In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
This is the I Spy Radio Show.
You and I have a rendezvous with destiny.
Keeping an eye on big government.
We the people tell the government what to do. It doesn't tell us.
The trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so.
And now, here is your host, Mark Anderson.
And welcome. So glad you're joining us today. This week has been a huge week for international issues. Trump pulled us out of the Iran deal and then got some U.S. prisoners released from North Korea, much to the dismay of those on the left. Next week will be another big week for international issues. Monday, May 14th, 2018, is the 70th anniversary of Israel's independence. It was a miracle it was founded. It's an even bigger miracle it survived. That same day, Trump will be opening the U.S. Embassy in the now officially recognized capital of Jerusalem. All of the pundits on the left, who seem to have never been to the Middle East and only know what they read from other pundits, were all predicting World War III after Trump ended the Iran deal. And why did they do it now rather than months ago? You've got Syria slowly regaining ground and chasing out ISIS. Saudi Arabia is actually making peaceful overtures toward Israel. And Iran is pulling the strength of a lot of countries. With all that's going on, wouldn't it be nice to know someone who grew up in the Middle East? Someone who intimately knows the inner workings of the enemies of Israel so you could really know what is happening, how, and why? We have just the man. I'd like to welcome back Kamal Saleem. He was trained from an early age as a jihadist to hate and kill Jews and Christians. He was commissioned by a Saudi prince to come to America and destroy it from within, but after an accident changed his life, he converted to Christianity and makes it his mission to expose the dangers of Islam and to bring his former brothers out of the darkness of Islam. Kamal, thank you so much for joining us again.
Thank you for allowing me to be on your this great program. Thank you for being a blessing and being salt and light for the nations.
Well, thank you. And, you know, we wanted to have you on to talk specifically about the 70th anniversary of Israel, especially since for so long you were trained from an early age to hate and to kill Jews. And then you were sent here to America to destroy Israel's greatest ally. So in 1948, your family was living there in the area. You were born in Lebanon, and your family was there. And I just wonder what it was like for them to have Israel suddenly formed as a nation right there.
Yes, that was really scary to all, not just Arabs, but specifically Muslims. Because you have these Christian Arabs that they believe in the biblical prophecies, and you have the Muslim who believe in Islamic prophecies. And the Islamic prophecies did not mention any of this that will happen. So it was really not just awkward, but it was fear-inducing. So therefore, but when we look at all the leaders and how the UNESCO and how the UN were involved in all this, when the Palestinian people start leaving Israel after Israel start taking over the land, and they were leaving, coming to neighboring states. So they came to Lebanon, for example, to Syria and other places. Syria, you know, enslaved the Palestinian. Lebanon, on the other hand, were making $150,000 per Palestinian head from the UN. They were being paid to have them over there. So it was the action of selfishness. What happened, they start bringing more and more Palestinians till the Palestinians start controlling and ruling the nation for a long time. But in the meantime, it created hate to the Jews, to the Jews and to the Christians, because the Muslim leaders always take those platform and turn them to bring them against the enemy of Islam. So, for example, when you hear Allah or and Muhammad, the Prophet of Islam, he said, "Fight the Jews and the Christians until Islam reigns supreme throughout the world." And then another place he said, those who reject Islam are vilest of creature and thus deserve no mercy. So those that follow Muhammad are ruthless to unbelievers. Fight is a commandment to you. Allah loves those who fights, you know, and so So when we are taught like this in all this, my mother teaching was to me, come on, when you kill Christian and Jews, your hand will light up before the throne of Allah, that's the God of Islam, and a host of heaven will celebrate your victory. This is a small picture of what we dealt with.
Well, speaking of fighting, you've got all of these wars that Israel has endured since its founding, about 10 of them altogether. You got the most famously probably the Six-Day War in June of 1967. You got the Yom Kippur War in 1973. And not to mention near constant minor attacks. I mean, has it amazed the Arab people that they just can't seem to kill off Israel? And if so, to what do they attribute that?
Well, they are really, they believe, the Muslim believe, ultimately, when I was a Muslim, that this is the heavens of the Jews and the Christians, what's taking place on earth. But yet, this is our hell. But at the end of time, we will go to heaven and they will go to hell. So therefore, as we looked at this from Islamic perspective, we looked at, you know, that there is time, you know, for when Islam will come to be victorious. When is that time and where is that time? It's somewhere in the future, because the Muslims were divided and they are not all together. And so therefore, as they looked upon this, they looked at this as the time is not right. So they believe that in due time, Allah will give them the victory.
Hmm. So as far as Islam's goals are concerned, because in the past, and even some currently will say this, when they say death to Israel, martyrs in the millions, they really actually mean that. That is their goal. Is that correct?
Well, at the age of 7 years old, I used to write on the street corners of Beirut, you know, the people of Saturday first and the people of Sunday next, meaning we're going to destroy, utterly destroy and kill the Jews first, and then we're going to come after the Christians. Hmm. This is was something 7 years old was writing. So where did he learn that from? And who, you know, inserted that understanding in his heart. And it was a doctrine of understanding given to him by Islamic teaching from the mosque that he learned right there from the imams. And so therefore, when we looked at this, we looked at there is a time for the annihilation of all non-Muslims, and that Islam will be the only state on earth, and that's called Islamic Ummah, you know, which is the world of Islam, the nation of Islam. And so therefore, and the only way we can come to our goal is to increase the hate toward these people to the point, you know, Muhammad says, he said, I laugh when I'm killing my people. Wow. That's Muhammad, the prophet of Islam. He said, it caused me to laugh to do it.
Wow. So much for the religion of peace. All right. Attitudes do seem to be changing, at least as far as Saudi Arabia is concerned, but we'll talk about that later on in the show. Right now, we need to take a break. We're talking with Kamal Saleem, a former cultural jihadist. Coming up next, we're going to be talking about some of Israel's neighbors. Stay with us. And welcome back. This is the iSpy Radio Show. This segment is sponsored by Debbie McMillan, a realtor I trust. You can check her out at Debbie McMillan. That's MCM, DebbieMcMillanHomes.com. On today's show, we're talking with Kamal Saleem. He is a former cultural jihadist, grew up in Lebanon and was trained to hate and kill Jews and Christians from an early age. He came to America to destroy it from within, but is now making his ministry to alert Christians to the dangers of Islam. His website is koomministries.com. That's K-O-O-M-E ministries.com. So let's talk about some of the neighbors there surrounding Israel. And you've got Syria to the immediate north. I am of mixed feelings, really, when it comes to Assad, because it seems to be whatever source that you're looking at. If you pay attention to the mainstream media, including Fox, Assad is this evil guy that wants nothing more than to kill his people. But then when you turn to some of these other journalists that are outside the mainstream, they're writing articles and showing videos of him talking to Christians there in some of these formerly bombed out churches that have been rebuilt. And he's welcoming them and praising them and saying, thank you for being such a tremendous part of Syria's history, the importance of Christianity there within the area for going back thousands of years since its founding. So what do you make of Assad?
Well, we need to understand, many people think that Assad, you know, Bashar Assad is a Muslim. He is not a Muslim. It's a form of Islam, and it's called Alawite. Hmm. Alawite is, they believe, you know, the ultimate God that they believe in, his name is Baal, you know, B-A-A-L, which is, you know, they call him Baal, sure. Or Baal, whatever you want to call him. But so ultimately, their deity is in for reincarnation. They're closer to the Hindus' religion. They're closer to what took place when the Israelites walked in the desert for 40 years, when Moses went up to the mountains, you know, to worship and come down, and he saw the Israelites worshiping the cow, you know, and what so have you. Basically, this is the form of religion that he worships.
Wow.
But basically, they believe in a system of gods. So what is that supposed to mean? Before Islam came about, in Kaaba, there was over 360 gods they worshiped. You know, a god of puberty, god of sex, god of fire, god of war, god of... So whatever they need to do, they worship before that god that day for something specific. So when we see Bashar al-Assad aligning up with Russia, and he's aligning up with Iran, it is because it's for his survival mode and for his nation. We saw what happened to Gaddafi. He was beaten and he was shut in the public square. We saw what happened to Saddam Hussein. We saw what happened, you know, in Egypt, you know, with this all Arab Spring. But what he's seeing today is who's on his side, and it's a system of slavery. Who are you going to serve so they can protect you for that day? Mm-hmm. That's what it's going to come to, and loyalty. So when we see the two elements of him, he's talking about Christianity. He's saying exactly what the history said about Christianity, because they believe Christianity is a god, not the god. Hmm. And so therefore, the majority of the leaders in that area, in that region, from Saddam, from Muammar, you know, to, you know, Bashar al-Assad and his father, Hafez al-Assad, you know, all these guys, they're babysitters, they're teachers, and what so have you, they hired Christians. They did not hire Muslims, because they were afraid of the Muslims will kill them, because they see what Islamic religion believe and what to do to their enemies. But yet they believed also what Christianity said and how to deal with their enemies. So the Christian says, love your enemy, while Islam says, destroy your enemy. So therefore, they trusted in that system. So when we see him, he's projecting this. That's a system of propaganda. He's speaking to the European, he's speaking to America, he's speaking to everywhere, you know, like, oh, we love the Christian, we're not killing them, but the other side is.
So it sounds like
what happened.
It sounds like he is just manipulating everybody on all sides.
That's exactly right.
Okay. And it's interesting, because you always hear Assad being portrayed in the mainstream media and also in some of these alternative medias that he's this Muslim, but he's more of a moderate Muslim. In fact, that's what I've believed for a long time. And this is really interesting to hear that he's not even a Muslim himself. And that would certainly explain why the other Muslims want him out. Real quick, I've got about a minute here with you. Talk to us about Lebanon and how they view Israel.
Lebanon is broken into many pieces. We have the Shia, which is the Hezbollah right now trying to take over the Lebanese government. We have also over there the Sunnis, which is their loyalty to Saudi Arabia. And then we have the Christians. You know, we have two kind of Christians, those who are aligned with, social structure of Christianity, and those who align with Israel, because Israel saved the Christians over there. So we have many dimensions in Lebanon, and Lebanon is a place, it's a very fragile place, and anything could happen at any moment.
Hmm. Okay, let's go and take a break there. Coming back, we're going to be talking about some of Israel's other neighbors to the south and east, both Jordan and Egypt, and of course Iran. Stay with us. We're going to have lots more with Kamal Saleem, a former cultured jihadist, Stay with us. Selling or buying a home can be an intimate business. You've got open house days with strangers coming through. Maybe your finances are a little tricky. You need someone you can trust. But you also need someone who's tough, someone to get you the best price. Debbie McMillan is both tough and trustworthy. If you or someone you know is getting ready to move into, out of, or within the Mid-Willamette Valley, Debbie McMillan knows great homes and how to sell them. Debbie is with Berkshire Hathaway Home Services Northwest Real Estate Professionals. That's a mouthful, but all you need to remember is DebbieMcMillanHomes.com. That's Debbie McMillan, MCM, DebbieMcMillanHomes.com. And welcome back. This is the Ice Wide Radio Show. We're talking today to Kamal Saleem. He is a former cultural jihadist. We're talking about the 70th anniversary of Israel coming up here on May 14th. Kamal grew up in Lebanon, and he was trained from an early age as a jihadist to hate and kill Christians and Jews. Was even commissioned to come here by a Saudi prince as a cultural jihadist to destroy America from within. Let's continue our discussion here about some of the neighbors of Israel. Iraq really seems kind of powerless right now. They used to be, of course, before the Gulf Wars, they were a huge threat to Israel. So where are they now?
Well, under the previous administration, when we declared that we lost the war in Iraq, which is we did not lose the war in Iraq, we were winning until we pulled out and we left all our, you know, military equipment over there and components in place for the Iraqis to take place. You know, what happened is we saw that ISIS came and captured everything and destroyed the system because America created a huge, you know, vacuum for the enemy to take place. But then we find that Iran stepped into Iraq. And then as Iran stepped into Iraq, we need to understand the majority of the people in Iraq are Shias. And Iran is a Shias, meaning that, they believe in Shiism and they believe in the Alawite system. They believe in multitude of system, which is other than Sunnis. And so therefore, Iran stepped over there to bring economic, you know, fairness and justice to start exchanging element, you know, with Iraq. And, you know, and the greatest place for the Shia to go to pilgrimage is not Mecca in Saudi Arabia. It is right there in Iraq, you know, and the Iranian and the Shia from all over the world, they go to their place over there in Iraq. They go also to Ashura, you know, which is they celebrate, you know, the Shia thing. But nevertheless, what happened is Iran brought in the Hezbollah and their military system, and now they are taking charge of Iraq. That Iraq is becoming a puppet of Iran, and the majority of the leadership in Iraq has to be agreed upon by the Iranian. So therefore, this is, you know, what the last administration did in Iraq. Affected everything that today we see. This is one of the biggest colossal.
Well, one of Israel's other neighbors there is Jordan. Jordan controls the Temple Mount. Overall, though, Jordan seems relatively peaceful, or at least they aren't in the news very much as far as attacking Israel goes. But what is Israel's relationship with Jordan?
Jordan has double identity. And all the Arabs knows this. What is the double identity? One of them, the king of Jordan, he meets with Israel, you know, quite a bit, you know, in open forum, but underground. They fly back and forth. They meet with each other and they have in conferences all the time, because we need to understand that the majority of the citizens in Jordan, they are not Jordanians. The Jordanians are the original Bedouin people that they lived over there, the Midianite and the Moabite, you know. But nevertheless, the majority of them are, you know, Philistines, you know, Palestinians. And where did they come from? They came from Israel. When Israel was, you know, increasing and becoming state, many of the Palestinians under the Balfour. What happened, you know, the Balfour, you know, it was an agreement that the Palestine, the new land of Palestine, will take place in the Jordan and will be controlled in Jordan. So the majority over there, you know, there are Palestinians. So he has to worry about the Palestinians because the majority of his armies are, you know, Palestinians, but the majority of his air force are Jordanians. And so therefore, he is always preparing to go at war with the Palestinian, and he can count on Israel to come and help him in any time of trouble. But yet, you know, he will take on with the Arabs, with the OIC organization, Islamic Conference, and all other things. He will, you know, speak against Israel. But the identity is he is his heart is in the two places for his sovereignty and for his protection.
Oh, that's interesting. I really didn't know that about Jordan and their split personality. Real quick, we've got about a minute here with you. Egypt had an early peace treaty with Israel, and then, of course, they had the Muslim Brotherhood come in, and relations soured there. What is Egypt's and Israel's relationship like right now?
You know, Egypt under Sadat, they had an accord peace accord with Israel that Egypt will never retaliate, you know, on all this. But then, you know, against Israel. But then when Turkey start, you know, getting in place and getting empowered, and then we see, you know, Turkey start affecting the political system of, you know, under the Muslim Brotherhood to bring about rioting in the streets and chaos and bringing calamity upon Egypt until Mohamed Morsi was put in place. Mohamed Morsi was selected by the Muslim Brotherhood, and he brought about Sharia immediately, a government by Sharia, which is Islamic ruling, changing Egypt from being a republic to the Islamic state. And so therefore, now he's condemning everybody else that is not a Muslim to death, even those Muslims that they are not on his side. So therefore, you know, Assisi, General Assisi, took him out, and you know, because of that peace accord and what so have you, and replaced him. And now that they have in that peace accord with Israel, because Israel today is talking with Saudi Arabia, and because Egypt is under Saudi Arabia, I believe Egypt right now is a friend to Israel, unless Mohamed Morsi be brought back by power miraculously by Turkey, which is that may happen in the next 4 years.
Well, let's certainly hope that does not happen. Speaking of Saudi Arabia, let's talk about them in the next segment here. For those of you new to the iSpy radio show, you're going to learn about the Islamic principle of taqiyya. So when Saudi Arabia is saying they want peace, do they really mean it? Stay with us. And welcome back to the iSpy Radio Show. We're talking today to Kamal Saleem. He is a former cultural jihadist, had been sent here to America to destroy it from within. Next week is the 70th anniversary of Israel's independence, so we're getting Kamal's insights as a former Muslim and cultural jihadist on Israel and its relations with its neighbors. And of course, with the Iran deal now coming to an end, that is certainly changing a lot of the dynamics. But even before the Iran deal came along, there was Saudi Arabia suddenly making some overtures to open up some bridges and some peace there with Israel. What's going on with Saudi Arabia?
Yeah, this is really historic. This is the first time it's happening in the history of Islam and Judaism, because this we saw the two are enemy to one another, killing each other. But today, you know, things are changing. And we see that Iran and Iraq and Turkey and Syria joined together with Russia, and now they're creating coalition. And basically, they tried to take over the Middle Eastern system and the Islamic system to lead with new things, which is clashes with the Saudi Arabian system, which is Wahhabism versus Sufism. Sufis can unite with the Shia, which is Sunni and Shia, but the Wahhabi could not. So therefore, what happened is now, you know, Iran says, you know, we're going to kill American, we're going to kill the Israelite, and we're going to kill the Saudis. We're going to kill the Middle East. Why? Because the Iranian-Turkish ambition is in the oil. and they want to control the oil system. And Saudi Arabia knows this. This is, could be destroyed utterly, just like what Saddam Hussein did to Kuwait. So therefore, the only friend right now that can stand with Saudi Arabia is Israel. Mm. So Saudi Arabia sold their life, sold their airspace. And now they're thinking about to do military, exercises with Israel, because if Israel come to their rescue, then it'll put the invasion of Turkey, Iran, Iraq, Syria back, and Israel stands between all those elements, you know. So Israel has the power to stop the invasion to Saudi Arabia, and Saudi Arabia has surrendered.
It's just really astonishing to see what is unfolding there in Saudi Arabia. It makes more sense, as you say, from earlier in the show when you're saying that Iran is essentially the puppet master now behind Iraq. I mean, Saudi Arabia has to do something to protect itself. But, of course, with our past discussions with you, we know about the dispensation there within Islam, Taqiyya, which allows it's a special dispensation that allows Islamists to lie as long as doing so somehow later on benefits Islam overall. So given that, how do we trust Saudi Arabia?
Well, here's the thing. Saudi Arabia just recently said something, and we need to really pay attention to. They said Israel should have their land. Hmm. They declared Israel to be a sovereign nation. That's the first time the head of the Sunni world said that Israel should become a sovereign nation. They should have a state capital. So when we see Saudi Arabia saying this, they're affirming that we are with Israel and Israel with us. We had a saying, when I was a Muslim, that me and my brother against my cousin, and me and my cousin, my brother is against the tribes and neighborhood. This is an alignment for the survival of the kingdom of Saudi Arabia and Kuwait and Qatar and Bahrain and Oman. And including Jordan, I'd say, this is a life saving that they are making that peace treaty with Israel. This will change all the elements, but this is creating new war.
Hmm. Well, but in terms of that aspect of Taqiyya, I mean, how do you genuinely trust what they're saying? I guess as long as their actions are following along with their words, that's like trust any other time. But when you essentially from Israel's standpoint, when you grow up knowing that you can't trust them because of that dispensation that it's okay to lie, how do you forge trust with them?
Well, al-Taqiyya is a doctrine. It's from the Quran and from Muhammad, the Prophet of Islam, and it is very valid. But Saudi Arabia today, the way they're doing things and changing all elements, and they are proving to the world, the word, we know them by their fruit. We need to understand what they're doing and not what they're saying. Many times, al-Taqiyya is what they said, but not what they did. And what we're seeing today, Saudi Arabia is making changes to opening movie theaters. They allow women to drive. They're changing the laws of Sharia. They're allowing, the American to come back to Saudi Arabia. They're making peace treaty with Israel. They align with all this, and they drop in, they turn against terrorism to the point because they saw themselves, they're losing. This is about survival. This is not about lying anymore because they could not afford to lie. The previous president, the previous king, Fahd, and the previous king before him, they just did al-Taqiyya. But this king, Sulaiman, he reorchestrated everything and brought all those princes that are supporting terrorism. And he said to them, you cannot do this anymore. And he put them in house arrest, changing all things. So we are seeing these changes. In my belief, even though al-Taqiyya says to deceive your enemy, it's lying by virtue. This is, we're looking at Saudi Arabia, the last stand.
So it sounds like you believe that this is genuine. And if that's true, that is absolutely astonishing. All right, everyone stay with us. When we come back, we'll be talking about the impact of that Iran deal. Landmark Pacific is known for their outstanding steel buildings and general contracting. But did you know that they're also a fantastic choice to maintain your existing building? When new construction isn't an option, maintaining your existing pre-engineered steel building is absolutely imperative. Incorrect materials can greatly reduce the life of your metal roof. For metal re-roofs, repairs, or additions and remodels, call the experts at Landmark Pacific, 503-743-3256. That's 503-743-3256. And welcome back. This is the iSpy Radio Show. Talking today to Kamal Saleem. He is a former cultural jihadist, was born in Lebanon. And so we're talking about the 70th anniversary of Israel coming up on May 18th. And just some fascinating insights here in terms of Saudi Arabia, and that you really believe that, their changes are, in fact, genuine. Let's shift gears just slightly now to talk about Iran. There is a tremendous amount of unrest, I should say, there in Iran. There are ongoing protests. Interestingly enough, while the left here in America was saying the end of the Iran deal is going to totally destroy any possibilities for peace there, what you're seeing instead is actually Iranians thanking Donald Trump, judging from some of these tweets that have been out there. But there's also have been runs on the banks. People are being beaten by police just trying to get their money back. Many, though, as I said, are celebrating the end of the Iran deal. What are you hearing? What do you know about is going on there within Iran?
Well, the thing is, it's very important to understand that if there's any evil in the Middle East today, or the great evil in the Middle East today, we have two nations. The first one, the most important to focus on, that's Iran. Iran is number one. Number two is Turkey. And the reason that is because when they join power, they can control the entire Middle East, and they have joint power. So we need to understand also that Iran is trying to control the oil, and Iran is trying to, you know, to create the end bomb with their rockets, so they can control the oil. And once they can control the oil, they can protect themselves by the end bomb against any Western civilization to say to them, like, if they told them, we're going to give you this much oil for this much, you know. And so therefore, what happened is if those Western civilization try to attack Iran, Iran can launch with nukes and what have you. This is very evil strategy. And so, but when we see all this, we see Iran today is trying to control the oil. You know, when we look at the coalition of the United Kingdoms, that is the Saudi Arabia, UAE, Kuwait, Qatar, Bahrain, all of them are sealed. You know, the gateway to get their oil out is only through right by the Yemen, the country of Yemen. Iran today is trying to take that place, and so therefore, so they can control all the oil, so therefore they can hijack the oil if they cannot take over the nation, or they can hit those oil tankers with rockets. By taking the oil over there, they can seize the power over there and control the Western civilization by their oil power.
So you're saying the reason that Yemen is being bombed and attacked by Saudi Arabia is because Iran is actually in there trying to gain control in Yemen.
That's exactly right, you know, and this is a war of...
Yeah, you just don't hear that in the mainstream media. It's just Saudi Arabia's evil and they're attacking Yemen. So, you know, Iran, of course, has its fingers in a lot of pies over there. What does it mean to those countries under Iran's thumb to see Trump pull out of this Iran deal?
Well, the people of Iran, over about 86% of the Iranian people are with Trump. The majority of the Iranian people, they don't believe in this Khomeini government. Why they don't believe in this? Because the Khomeini government is an Islamic state. It's trying to establish another ISIS, ISIS system to lead the Muslim world to victory against the non-believers. And so therefore, when we see when Trump did what he did, the people are over there, we need to understand they are starving to death. They are taxed to death. They are, you know, they're being robbed every day from everything, every blessings and every prosperity they have, because the Iranian government trying to milk everything that they have. They put it toward the end bomb, nuke system, and to establish an Islamic state. So they're trying to establish Islamic military system. And the majority of the people are against this. They don't want to be involved in Lebanon with Hezbollah. They don't want to be involved in, you know, in Yemen with, you know, Houthi. You know, they don't want to be involved with in Syria. They want to be in, just give me Iran back. So by pulling this, today we have clashes about this.
Yeah.
We need to ask ourselves why the Iranian, why the European want this treaty to stay with Iran. You know, the European have billions upon billions of dollars in economic, you know,
yes.
Economic prosperity, which is they are, you know, with Iran. So if we pull out of this, what they are afraid of that Iran will retaliate and they will lose this financial system from airplanes,
yes.
from Airbus, from, you know, food system, from, you know, all of it, you name it, from, you know, cars, automobile. So the European want this to stay. And the second part is they are afraid of that the Iranian and the Turkish will allow more immigration to flood Europe.
Well, I do think the economic side of things is very important. The E3, the UK, France, and Germany, they've been making billions, as you say, off of these deals with Iran, and that would certainly explain why they wanted to stay in it. But previously, I was really curious why Trump waited to pull out when he did. Well, it turns out that there was a slow erosion going on of the Iranian currency. It's really been devaluing over the last few months. It's now 1/80,000th of a U.S. dollar. So by waiting, it puts even greater strain on the Iranian economy and may, in fact, force some changes there. I mentioned the bank runs. So do you see that maybe this will lead to some possible uprising here within Iran?
They have an uprising, but now it's being subjugated, you know, by, you know, military force of Iranian force, that is. And but there is a war right now that is taking place all over, you know, the world, you know, and that war is a world of currency and finances.
Yeah.
American, you know, our Donald Trump is fighting Iran with the dollar.
Yes.
While Saudi Arabia is helping him and all those Arab nations, they're fighting, you know, by their real against this, the Iranian dollar. So they're making it collapse on purpose. It's like a sanction.
Yeah.
To force it, you know, to have...
It's a war being fought on many fronts, for sure. Let's go and take a break there. Everyone stay with us. We'll wrap things up with Kamal Saleem, a former cultural jihadist. And welcome back. We're in our final segment now here on the iSpy Radio Show. We've been talking about the 70th anniversary of Israel and its relationships with its neighbors. Middle East is a never-ending hotbed of activity, for sure. During the break there, you were mentioning about the economics of things, and that is certainly something that Trump understands. Why don't you go ahead and just real quick deal with some of the economics there with going that's going on there with Iran?
In the last four administrations, the most brilliant president we have so far is President Donald Trump. And the reason why I say that is he is he's having economic war against all those enemy that they're trying to destroy humanity, which is the, you know, these are the tyrant nations, you know, and so he's at war with Iran, trying to bring their, you know, financial system down. So no matter how much oil they, you know, they sell, you know, they still don't make money on it, you know, even though OPEC is trying to change the money, to change the prices. So, and then the Saudi and all these people trying to drop, you know, their real, which is down as well, which is bring the Iranian dollars down as well, so it'll have no value. So economically, you know, Iran will fail. And that is the whole, you know, it's fought on from every front.
Yeah, and I think that's a fascinating thing about what's happening here that you're just not hearing from some of these other analysts is that you don't see that economic side of things that, that Trump is bringing to pressure. Plus, what's it say about the UK, Germany, and France that they're willing to make economic deals with a terrorist sponsor like Iran? Real quick, in the time that we have here with you, Trump recognized Jerusalem as Israel's capital. This is certainly bringing about a lot of new alignments. What is this going to mean as far as its neighbors are concerned?
This is very important because we are seeing the global system is trying to bring every all nations together to become like when we see Iran has taken over a multitude of nations. This agrees with the globalist with the global system because they want to see chaos, and so now we see Israel being affirmed as a nation. So therefore, that is put Israel outside of globalist grab, you know, and that's why our previous administration made that deal to allow chaos to take place all over in the Middle East. That's part of the Arab Spring, specifically to create that commotion. So therefore, what happened is the globalists to come and enter and create one world government and bring the UN to police every nation, including the United States of America and Israel. And that's how they can destroy, you know, the elements. So therefore, we know that this, what took place in Israel, that is changing the entire world strategy. Now, economically, Israel is increasing, you know, financially, and becoming super nation financially. Yeah. And then it's affecting the European system, you know, with prosperity, because they contribute more with vegetable, fruit, everything else, and now with natural gas.
Yeah, well, and that's certainly one of the ways that they're actually establishing some ties with their neighbors as well. It really is a miracle, looking back, that Israel has survived for 70 years. We've got about a minute here with you. Will there ever be peace between the children of Ishmael and the children of Isaac?
There will be peace, and there will not be peace. The peace that I see coming is like people like me. When people like me, they come to Christ and they become follower of, you know, the Messiah. What happened is they will make peace with Israel, because Israel is, you know, God spoke his blessing and he made peace with them, and he made them the apple of his eye. And he said, I will bless those who bless them and I'll curse those who curse them. So therefore, when we look at all this, we see that, you know, people like me are making their peace immediately with Israel, even bringing Israel to look at the Messiah differently as he's the real one who came. But when you look at the other one, they're outside of this, they are becoming more brutal toward Israel and enemy of Israel, which is, we see that sooner or later they will have to have war against Israel now, as we see the storm building by all those nations.
Peace always starts with peace in your own heart, that's for sure. Kamal, I want to thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you for having me.
For those of you who are new to the program, Kamal is a longtime guest and a good friend here on the iSpy Radio Show. If you've never heard him before, I certainly recommend you check him out. He has incredible insights on Islam as a religion, but also their political motives and strategies, how Muslims think and view the world, and so much more. There's even a great video of his life and why he converted as well. Head to iSpyRadio.com, look for this week's show on the homepage, or starting next week, it'll be on the archives. Plus, don't forget to visit Kamal's website, Koom Ministries, that's K-O-O-M-E, ministries.com. And don't forget to share all of that with your friends and neighbors and family, because as we say every week, the best information does you no good if you don't use it. Reagan, what do you think?
I do not believe in a fate that will fall on us no matter what we do. I do believe in a fate that will fall on us if we do nothing.
It's more than a show. It's self-defense. The I Spy Radio Show.